The Gospel reading from Luke. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all of my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
Some of you might not be surprised to hear that my favorite book is a children's book. You Are Special by Max Lucado has a special place in my heart. It is the story of the wooden people called the Wemmicks. The Wemmicks were created by the wood carver who lives up on the hill. They have a practice of giving out stickers to each other every day. They give out stars for achievements and talent and beauty. They give out dots for failures or mistakes, or simply because they already have a lot of dots on them. Punchinello was a wooden person with a lot of dots. It seemed like no matter what he tried, he could only receive more dots, never stars. One day, he met a Wemmick who had no stars or dots. They didn't stick to her. He asked her why this was, and she said it was because she visits the woodcarver every day. Punchinello decided that he would visit the woodcarver. And when he did, this is what the woodcarver said to him. "Punchinello, the stickers only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust my love for you, the less you care about the stickers." Punchinello knew it would take a long time to shed all of his dots. But as he left that first visit with the woodcarver, he imagined that the words he heard could be true. And at that moment, one of his dots fell to the ground. Stars and dots. Stars and dots. I've been repeating that phrase for the better part of 25 years. After I read this story for the first time. To say achievement is important to me is an understatement. For those of you familiar with the personality scale called the Enneagram, I am a 1 on that personality scale. A 1 is literally called the achiever, or the reformer, or the dreaded perfectionist. I struggle to rest until everything is done. I can be shattered if I make a mistake. I often put too much value on the approval of others, sometimes confusing that value with love. Love that comes only by earning it. The stars and dots have had a particularly sticky hold on me. Perhaps you don't struggle with this need for perfection, but I think for most of us, it's difficult to comprehend love not based on some type of achievement. We know God loves us, but are we sure we don't have to do anything to earn it? We forget that God does love us only because God created us. And when we forget, we may get swallowed up in that sea of judgment, judging ourselves, judging others. And all of this judgment clouds our vision of who God is and who humanity is in God's love. Which brings me to our parable today. Two people, one a Pharisee and one a tax collector. Which one are you? Which one am I? The Pharisee is clearly the one who trusts in himself, in his achievements, in his power. Does he have money, an education, an important standing in society? He lists several things he is not. He is not a thief or a tax collector like that guy over there. He lists things he does. He fasts twice a week. He gives a tenth of his income. Stars, stars, and more stars for the Pharisee. And he has contempt for those with dots, those beneath him, those without his privilege, his clean record, his luck. The tax collector seems to know who he really is and who God really is. He knows he needs God's mercy, and he's crying out for it. He knows he is a sinner, broken, needy, that he cannot trust in himself. He can only trust in God. He is covered in dots. And for him, there is no contempt for others because he is concentrating on receiving God's grace for himself. And Jesus said, this is the person who went home justified. But before we cheer the tax collector and jeer the Pharisee, let's think a minute. The Pharisee could have likely been a representation of any of Jesus' devout followers. He really isn't supposed to be the villain in this story. Perhaps he's a symbol that we all embody. He's a good man. He represents things we strive for. We agree that stealing is wrong. We try to live justly. We value faithfulness in our relationships. And we try to be worshipers who follow spiritual practices such as sacrifice and generosity. And we must be careful not to make the tax collector the heroic victim that we all feel sorry for. Tax collectors were a part of a corrupt system that served the Roman Empire. They took as much as they could from their neighbors to pay the Roman tax, but then they pocketed all that was left, making them wealthy. They often stole from others and accepted bribes. It makes sense that they were despised. No wonder Jesus' parable was shocking to its original audience. But as we compare their prayers, we see that the Pharisee begins with contempt. Sure, he is thankful to God, but thankful that he's not like those other people, and by that, he means sinners. He has tricked himself into believing that if he keeps doing all the right things, there will be no sin to confess. He asks nothing of God, assuming that he doesn't need anything, but in asking nothing, he misses out on everything. By contrast, the tax collector's prayer is simple. There is no claim to fame, no boasting of good deeds, no excuses for poor behavior. Simply spoken is his need for God's mercy, and I would add, God's love. He recognizes his human limitation and his utter dependence on God. Two people, one a Pharisee and one a tax collector. Which one are you? Which one am I? Often, we are the Pharisee. We live in a world of expected achievement, and we play the game well. Many of us have an education, some money. We have a talent or a skill. We may not have a very long list of strikes against us. We have some power and privilege that allows us to have a respectable job. And so we begin to think that we can trust in ourselves. Who needs God when we can do it all on our own? But soon enough, we look down at our hands and we have become the keepers of the stickers. Are we covered in stars? And as we are, we start to hand out the dots. Our judgment for others happens without us even realizing it. We aren't standing up in the sanctuary thanking God for not making us like them, but are we thinking it? In our culture, this makes sense that we would fall prey to this. Achievement and progress are celebrated above all. We are taught from a young age to be good. And what do you want to be when you grow up? We work hard to appear like we have it all together. And of course, being responsible and making good choices, these are necessary and good things used by God. But the problem is, you see, the star stickers are just as dangerous as the dots. We start to depend on them, and we let them define us. We begin to think like the Pharisee that we are loved only because we are covered in stars. And then what happens when we make a mistake, when we fail, when we fall flat on our faces and the embarrassment and shame take hold? We become paralyzed with worry that now this is how others will define us. We fear most of all that we will no longer be loved. And here is the underlying sadness in this story. The Pharisee is the lost one. He thinks that his achievements are what makes God love him. I wonder if he gets home and he feels exhausted because he's trying to constantly keep up this appearance of perfection and worried that he might fail. As a religious leader, he hasn't found the grace of being free of this worry. But isn't it true that churchgoers are often the most skilled at hiding our true selves in the one place where we are supposed to bring our true selves? How is it that in all of this Pharisee's religious training, he never got the message? God loves you for you, just because you're a child of God. That's it. Take a breath. Put down the stickers. For some of us, we know what it's like to be the tax collector. There have been those moments when we have been totally crushed. Maybe because of our own choices, or maybe because of something that has happened to us. It is in those moments when we fall to the ground and cry out like the blind man begging for sight, "Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me." And although these times in our lives are heartbreaking, they do give us sight to see our human limitation, and hopefully catch a glimpse of God's everlasting love. When we depend on that love alone, that's when we become more like Jesus. Jesus, who knows deeply his identity as God's beloved Son, and therefore he can put his trust in God alone. And for those of you listening who have had a lifetime of these tax collector moments, you are the ones we need to learn from. Tell us your story, and may God help us listen. Well, whether you are the Pharisee or the tax collector or someone in between, I ask you to imagine this with me for a moment. God loves you right where you sit in this very moment. You are God's beloved child. You don't have to make anything right or hide your mistakes to have God's love. You don't have to get your retirement in order, finish your degree, be more talented, or win that award for God to love you. You don't have to get that job or have a certain amount of money or even serve on a church committee. Whatever your ethnicity, whatever your education level, whatever your gender, and whomever you choose to love, God calls you beloved. You don't have to be anybody else but the person you are right now for God to absolutely adore you. God loves you. It's true. You can trust it and let those stickers start to fall. And the beauty that comes from our acceptance of God's love for us as individuals is that then we can really start to see others as God's beloved. The judgment and contempt becomes less and less within us as we begin to grow the ability of beholding others in the image of God. Not because of what they can do for us or because of how much we esteem them, but simply because we know God loves them too. I'm remembering my father today because today is the 19th anniversary of his death. After he died, my family and I discovered an old Bible of his. Inside, he had chosen verses for my brothers and me when we were born. He wrote our names and our birthdays beside them. We believe he had been praying these verses for us since we were born, and we didn't even know it. As I looked closely to my verses, I saw that he made a note that my mother had actually chosen my verses for me. My verses are Ephesians 3, 18 and 19. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Somehow my parents knew that it would take me a long time hearing these words to comprehend the depth of God's love. But oh, what a prayer for all of us. Over the years, I have often visited my Creator, and the stars and dots aren't quite as sticky as they used to be. Because these are the words I hear over and over. You are special because I made you. You are mine. You are loved. I plan to continue visiting my Creator and learning to define myself by these words alone. Won't you join me? Amen.